Let me suggest a verse in 3 John, and maybe this will prompt some additional comments. In 3 John, the Apostle John writes to his friend and fellow believer and brother, Gaius, and he says there in verse 1 and 2, I'd like to read, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth," and especially this verse, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And here's the point related to our discussion. You are not your body. Your physical being is not the sum of your existence. So I'd like to just add on to this, too, that this concept that God is the author of human life is attacked by this other concept, the opposing view that you are simply your body. You are simply the natural stuff of yourself. Whereas the fact that God is the author of life in a very particular and unique way, like was mentioned, breathing the breath of life into humanity, the human race, this indicates that our souls and our spirits are unique. Now, we would probably say, it's often said that there may be, in some manner, some kind of soul or some kind of emotion to some degree in creatures. But clearly, the way that God has designed human life is that you are more than the sum of your bodily parts. Why is this important? If we bought the lie that we are just our bodies, how would this affect us?
Well, when we have eternity set before us, we would have nothing to lose. We could live our lives as however we want them, because we would have no eternal gain or punishment. So if we don't believe in the eternity, or if of us having a spirit and a soul that are eternal, that cannot die, then we would, how could we believe in God? You know, the existence of God doesn't, you know, affect us in any way, because our lives would be just simply here in the physical realm. And, you know, God is completely taken out of the picture.
I have a question over here.
Yes, good.
Does this fit into the context of 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, that is, this being God is the author of human life? And the verses would be, "Every sin which a man may practice is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and that ye are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Glorify now then God in your body."
Excellent. Very, very good question. How would you answer that, Alex? What do you think? Is it related?
I think it is related.
I think I would agree with that. Yeah. Why don't we have a little discussion on that? 1 Corinthians 6, was it verse 18 through 20, right? Yeah. So we had mentioned already that we are, if without the knowledge that there is a God who made us, there would be a very little sense of responsibility. If there was not an eternity to be concerned about, if there was not an eternal soul as opposed to just a mortal body, then we would be able to live however we want. And obviously these verses in 1 Corinthians 6 are teaching Christians specifically that that's not true. What else can we say about this? I can wait a long time.
It's a small comment. We're talking about the eternal soul, but we're not talking about the eternal spirit as well. And the need for mankind, even in life, to have a God and to have a religion, because we have that need in our mm-hmm. spirit to relate to a higher being.
Very good.
Could I maybe read a scripture? I'm not sure this is the time to do one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23, mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says this, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there definitely in Scripture that man is a tripartite being, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. I think that's important, and that we need to address man as a whole, not just the body. Mm-hmm. And again, we can go on and on, but in previous eras of time, people have had different views about the body. You know, at one point, the body was seen to be an evil thing. Evil. And therefore, some religious people shut themselves away into monasteries and so on because the body is so evil. Then they found that there was evil within them and so forth. And then, on the other hand, we may have a difference where some people begin to worship the body. It's a different mind of, you know, line of thinking. So it's an important concept to understand what does God's word say about the body. But it's very important. I don't want to go off topic, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, God wants that body. It is important what we think of the body. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Very good.
The second little point that you say there is, how is this attack? I guess, you know, the thought that I wanted to bring out is, why is this attack? The whole concept of, you know, there is, it's funny, I was driving on I was driving home from work, listening to the radio one day, and there is this this bill in Spain where,
There's this bill in Spain for monkeys, I think it's like chimpanzees or apes, I think all apes, for them to have the same rights to life that humans have. Mm-hmm. So the thought is that, you know, they're intelligent beings and that they shouldn't be brutalized, and which I agree with, you shouldn't brutalize animals. But, you know, to say that they have the right, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if now they're going to allow them to vote. It's going to be interesting to see. But I'm not sure if it was passed or if it was put down. But the question, I mean, we have to ask ourselves, why is there this desire for us to be likened to the beast? And the reason why, at least in my opinion, I think we see here in Scripture, is that the desire to liken us to the beast gives us the opportunity to behave the way that the beasts behave, to behave in a manner which, this is my instinct, this is my desire. And so there isn't really any morality involved. It's just merely a function of what my desire is and what I want to do, and is it going to be to my best interest, without any concern or conscience with respect to the greater good of anything. And so behind all this desire to exalt animals, or rather to lower us to the level of the beast, that's what's really underlying it.
We've referred to concepts, that evolutionary concepts, and this is one of their natural conclusions. If you believe in something materialistic and naturalistic, mm-hmm. and your belief system is purely limited to that, then truly we are simply products of other creatures. There is no purpose to our life. There is no internal life or any internal character to our being that is any different from the zebras and the monkeys and the elephants, and or even from the cockroaches. You know, I mean, there's no difference. And we'll probably come to some of that as well when we talk about the relationship of man and nature. But it's good to realize that this attack, the idea that God is not the author of human life, has some very serious implications. And it's very important to see the distinctiveness that God has given to humans, even in the way he made Adam from the very beginning, and also Eve, as we'll see.